This morning, God's Word comes to us from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 5 and then read through verse 11 of this chapter. Romans 8, beginning at verse 5, what we hear now is God's Word. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 9 in the back section. Page 9, this is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 2. And in fact, this morning we're going to begin with the end of Lord's Day 1. We're going to start with question and answer 2 and then read through question and answer 5. I will read the questions and you may respond with the answers. So beginning with Lord's Day 1, question 2, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort?
Three things. First, how great my sin is in the Second,
how do you come to know your misery? What does God's law require of us? Can you live up to all this perfectly? Last week, we began to look at the Word of God as it's summarized for us, as it's systematized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. And we talked about the glory of the fact that we belong to God. The Catechism asks where our comfort comes from. Our comfort comes from not who we are, not what we can do, not what we can accomplish. Our comfort comes from whose we are. The fact that we do not belong to ourselves, we are not our own, but we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We belong. That's why we have comfort. We belong. That's why we have hope. Last time we didn't really look at the second question of Lord's Day 1. What must you know to have this comfort? And the Catechism lists three things we need to know to have the comfort of belonging. We must know, first of all, how great our sin and misery are. Secondly, how we are set free from all our sins and misery. And third, how we are to thank God for this deliverance. The knowledge that we have to know to have comfort to belong begins with a knowledge of our sin and misery. Now, I think historically, Calvinistic churches have often been charged with focusing perhaps too much on sin and misery. That's all we ever want to talk about, is how sinful we are. But that's where our knowledge begins. Without a recognition of our fallen, sinful state, we have no need for a Savior. If we're doing pretty well ourselves, we have no need to find someone to save us from our fallenness. No, the beginning of our comfort, the beginning of that knowledge, is recognizing properly, clearly, who we are. We are those fallen and sinful. So this morning we're going to spend a little time talking about knowing our sin and misery. And perhaps the reason that those outside looking in would say that we spend so much time talking about sin and misery, perhaps it is because the world spends no time talking about sin and misery. The world gives no thought to the sinfulness of man. Oh, they might recognize that there is misery in the world. All we have to do is turn on the news and we see evidence of that. We see natural disasters taking place, causing misery in people's lives. We see crime taking place, causing misery in families. The world can see the effects of misery around us, but they don't understand its true nature. The world might recognize that there are miserable people at times and miserable circumstances and conditions, but they don't understand the true nature of that misery. The nature of that misery is rooted in the problem of sin. And until we recognize that, we'll never understand the true nature of the misery in which we find ourselves. The root problem in the world is not poverty, is not lack of education, is not catastrophic event. The root problem in the world is the problem of sin. That man is fallen. That man is sinful. And we have to recognize that in the church as well. When difficult things happen in our lives, when we go through times of tragedy, we recognize God is still in control, but many of these things are the effects of sin. Frailty in our bodies, weakness in mind, fear about relationships, because of the fallen, sinful condition in which we find ourselves. But we don't like to hear about that, because to speak about sin and a sinful nature means the problem is mine. And I like to make the problem someone else's. I like to blame someone else for the difficulties I have in my life. I like to blame my parents for the way they brought me up. Either they were too strict or perhaps they were too lenient. But really, the way I am is not my fault. It's simply how I was raised. I blame my parents. Or I blame my spouse, or I blame my children for difficulties in my family. You see, it's not my fault. If I had a different spouse or different children, things would be better. We blame our employer for difficulties at work. We blame our teachers, our professors for hardships in education. It's not my fault. That's our natural response to misery around us. But when we talk about sin and misery, we are talking about my sinful condition. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. The problem is we have set our minds not upon God, first of all, but on the things of the flesh, on the sinful things around us. We have turned away from God, turned away from His righteous requirements, and turned to our own selfish desires. And that becomes my fault then. I can't blame someone else. I have set my heart on the things of the flesh. And the result of this turning away from the things of God, the result of this misery, verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death. That's the ultimate end of our sinful condition. It is not simply injury. It is not simply illness. To set the minds on the things of the flesh will lead to eternal death, an eternity spent away from God, where His presence is there only in His anger, only in His wrath. That's the end of those who find themselves in this miserable, sinful condition and do nothing about it. The true nature of our misery is that we have chosen against God and for the flesh. We have chosen against the righteous things and to my selfish, wicked desires. That's the nature of the misery in which we find ourselves. And that sinful nature expresses itself in its revolt against God's law. Verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. God's law, that which is perfect, righteous, holy, a blessing, and the mind set on the sinful nature is hostile to God, is hostile to His law. That which is meant to give life, that which is meant to give peace, that which is the one sure, true blessing, we turn away from. The mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Our confession says, how do you come to know your misery? The law of God tells me. What does God's law require? That you love the Lord your God. The essence of the law is love. Love for God with heart and soul and mind and strength, with all that we are. A loving, wholehearted devotion to God. And the mind set on the flesh will not submit. Rather than loving God with heart and soul and mind and strength and loving our neighbor as ourselves, what is our natural tendency? Can you live up to all this perfectly? I have a natural tendency to hate. The core of the law is love. Loving God, loving our neighbor. Left to myself, my natural tendency is to hate God and to hate my neighbor. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. And beyond that, indeed it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is the extent of our misery. Not just that we do not keep God's law, as bad as that is. We cannot keep God's law. You know, thinking in our own rational minds, we say, look, if the knowledge we need is an obedience to the law, well, then let's just do it. If loving God with heart and soul and mind and strength and loving my neighbors myself, if that's what's required, then let's just do it. The problem is we cannot do it. The mind is hostile to God, does not submit to His law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the question in question answer 5. It doesn't say, do you live up to all this perfectly? It asks the question, can you? Can you live up to all this perfectly? And to that we have the answer, no. I have a natural tendency to hate God and to hate my neighbor. An inability to keep the law. That's the full extent of our misery. Not just that we do not, but that we cannot. We cannot fix the problem of sin ourselves. We cannot do enough to make ourselves righteous in God's sight. We read earlier this morning Paul's words from chapter 3. No one is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. And then this physical description. Their throat an open grave. Their tongues speak deceit. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We cannot keep God's law. We cannot love Him with heart and soul and mind and strength. And we cannot love our neighbor as ourselves. That is misery. Not just a lack of conformity to a few rules, but an inability to save oneself. And it is in that sinful, fallen, miserable condition that we find ourselves. The world will not talk about that. They will talk about character flaws and minor things that we do. The world tends to see sin as activities, not as a condition. But we recognize it is a condition, a fallen, sinful nature. The condition in which each of us finds ourselves. And it's easy then to lack all hope. It's easy to throw up one's hands and say, look, if not only I do not keep God's law, but I cannot, what hope do I have for salvation? What hope do I have in this life and in the life to come? Paul gives this description of the mind that is according to the flesh, the mind set against God, the mind hostile to Him that will not submit to His law. But then he says in verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. God did not leave us in that fallen, sinful condition. God did not leave us unable to save ourselves and simply wallowing. But God sent one to redeem us. You, however, are not in the flesh if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. God sent Jesus Christ to save us from that fallen, sinful, miserable condition. Paul says, verse 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What righteousness? We've just said that I cannot keep the law of God. I do not keep the law of God. What is this righteousness being talked about? The righteousness is not our righteousness, that if we do the right things. The righteousness being spoken about is the righteousness of another. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. He came and perfectly kept the law of God. Not only was he able, but he did keep that law. He came and perfectly fulfilled all righteousness. And He did that, that perfection, that righteousness, that complete keeping of God's law might be given to each of us. Our confession will say later, Lord's Day 23, God grants and credits Christ's righteousness to you, to me. Those in that fallen, sinful condition, sinful, miserable, unable to save themselves, and to us, God gives righteousness, perfection, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, the glory of the gospel. The glorious hope that we have, although found in a sinful, miserable condition, God does not leave us there, but grants and credits to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The law of the sinful nature is death. But for those who are in Christ, for those in whom the Spirit dwells, it is life. Life in Jesus Christ. Life through the power of the Spirit. The Spirit who dwells in you. Our destiny is not the grave. Our destiny is not death. That is for those left in that sinful condition. Our destiny, our hope, our glory is eternal life in Jesus Christ. The glory, the goodness of God's grace. Those who are fallen, those who are sinful, those who are weak and unable to save themselves, God grants Christ righteousness and gives them life. Life now and life in the future. For the Spirit of God dwells in you. God's Spirit right now dwells in us. God's Spirit right now is that Spirit of life and peace. Again from verse 5, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Set the mind of the things of the Spirit is life and is peace. We are now called to set our minds on spiritual things. To turn away from the things of the world. To turn away from the flesh and its desires. But to set our minds on the things of God. On that which brings Him most honor. On that which brings Him most glory. On that which magnifies His holy name. That is our call. As those who know our sin and misery, but who know the glory of redemption in Jesus Christ. The Spirit dwells in you. Yes, we will still sin. Yes, we will still be fallen. But God's Spirit will enliven us and direct us and encourage us in the path of righteousness. We set our minds not on sinning and that and following that path to death, but we set our minds on the things of God. We set our minds on those things that will bring us life and peace, Paul says. You want a good life. You want peace in your family. You want peace with your employer. You want peace with God. Set your mind on spiritual things. Determine to follow in God's ways, saying no to the ways of the world, determined to walk in His paths. Young people, you look to the future. You wonder what the future might hold. What does God have in store for me? Do you want the path of peace? Do you want the path of righteousness? Then set your minds on spiritual things. Make God's glory the driving force in the decisions that you make. Not what will serve you first of all. Not what will give you the most money, first of all. What will bring God the most glory, first of all. Because that is the path of peace. That is the path of righteousness. That is the path of life. The blessing of knowing our sin and misery, but knowing that out of that fallen condition, God has saved His people. It's preparatory week for the Lord's Supper. It's a week that we traditionally reflect on our lives, reflect on our relationship with God. And as we do that, we don't have to think very hard before we see our fallenness, before we see our sin. It still clings to us. We still make those choices against the law of God. And if that's where we end our preparation, none of us would come next Sunday. If being a sinner kept us away from God's table, none of us would show up. No, we recognize our sin. But we recognize the power of God over that sin. That we are not those left in the fallen, sinful, miserable condition. But as you reflect this coming week, reflect upon what God has done for you, how He has redeemed you, how He has given you Christ's righteousness, how He has given you life. And then, as we prepare for the table, we come with joy. We come certainly recognizing that fallenness that still clings to us. But that's not where we find ourselves. We don't set our minds on that path. We set our mind upon God, upon His goodness, upon His ways, upon His blessings to us. And then we come and we take and we eat and we by faith are strengthened that God will continue by His Spirit to go with us in our life. Yes, we know our sin and misery. But beyond that, we know the grace, the love, and the mercy of God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, when we look at our lives and we know how far short they fall of Your glory, we hear those words of Romans chapter 3, no one righteous, not even one, no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And we maybe even begin to wonder, should we come next Sunday? The sin is so evident. Lord God, may we never stop our reflection simply with ourselves, but may we look to Jesus Christ, to His glory, to His perfection, to His righteousness, and know then that that was given to us. May this coming week be a time of serious reflection, but not simply upon our sin, but on the glories of Your grace. Hear our prayer, O God, for it is offered in Jesus' name. Amen.